Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, this is Richard Wiseman's On Your Mind with me, psychologist Professor Richard Wiseman.
And me, science journalist Marnie Chesterton.
This is the podcast where we delve into the psychology of everyday life and answer your questions about human behaviour.
Expect fascinating facts, scintillating science, and this might even improve your life.
In this episode, we're talking about coincidences. Why do we keep experiencing them?
Do we really live in a small world?
And are these coincidences meaningful in any way?
I mean, mine are and yours are just nonsense, right?
Let's get on with the show.
When was the last time you had a noticeable coincidence?
The strangest coincidence I've had was about 5 years ago when I was on the underground and I'd got a baseball cap on and it was red and green. It was slightly unusual, but not massively unusual. And you know when they open the windows between the carriages on the underground?
Yeah.
When they're going along, you get quite a breeze.
Yeah.
Well, I was standing by one of those windows. Big breeze. My cap blows off through the window into the next carriage. I turn around and it's blown exactly onto another man's head.
Whoa!
I thought the chances of that.
Yeah.
So the train then pulls into the station. I thought I better go and get my cap back. I go into the next carriage. My cap is on the floor. He's wearing an identical one. It hasn't blown off of my head onto his head. He just happens to be wearing an identical cap to me, thus giving me the illusion of a cap transfer. And that is one of the weirdest things that's ever happened to me.
That's quite pleasing.
Yeah. How about you?
Well,
can I say you're really unimpressed with my coincidence? I just said that's the weirdest thing that ever happened to me and you just went, whatever.
That's because I was waiting to tell you about my coincidence, which is way more... No,
yes.
It's not.
Well, there's been studies on this. Everyone loves their own
tragic
coincidences and goes millions to one. Everybody else is unimpressed by everyone else's coincidences. So you're unimpressed by mine, even though it's a life-changing experience. You're
going to
tell me yours.
My turn to talk.
Yes, now go for it.
I feel really bad now, but that's genuine. I was thinking of my coincidence. I was like,
What's your coincidence?
Okay. When I left Amsterdam, where I lived for 7 years, I realised as I was getting out to the airport train station, that I couldn't fit everything into my luggage allowance. Mm-hmm. But if I took my ratty old dressing gown, which is my father's, mm-hmm. From decades ago, mm-hmm. and it's got a big hole in it and really needs to be chucked away, if I took it out and just abandoned it... Then
just fly tipping.
Yes. If I fly tipped something that I'd been hanging on to, then everything else would fit in my luggage. And I thought, okay, this is the fates telling me to get rid of this thing.
Was there a breeze and it blew out of your suitcase?
And then
you turned around, someone else
was wearing
amazing.
A really ratty dressing gown. No, so a friend came to wave me off and say, you know, to mark the end of my time in Amsterdam. And I told her about the dressing gown and then she left me. And like an hour later, she got on a train, random train, and there on the seat was my dressing gown. She'd got on the right carriage of the right train that had gone...
Hold on a minute. So you'd left... You had actually left the dressing gown on the train.
Yes.
That's the most remarkable thing about this story. You thought, I'll just leave this ratty old dressing gown on a train.
It wouldn't fit in the coffee bin, so I just left it on the seat.
Right.
I don't know what you do with a dressing gown that you suddenly realise you don't
want. Well, not putting it in the bag
want.
In the first place might be... That's unbelievable.
But I was taking everything out of my flat, so I couldn't leave it in the flat, because where do you leave it? I don't know.
Anyway, your friend got on the train, and it's the same train.
It's the same train that had gone off to some other place, I don't know, Rotterdam, all the way back again.
Yeah.
She'd got on the right carriage... and she was like, is this your dressing gown? I said, yes. And she fixed it for me. She fixed the big hole and she posted it to me. And now I can never get rid of it. Even though it's even more ratty now, it's still my dressing gown. Can I say Richard looks really unimpressed?
No, it's great. You dissed my underground one.
Fine, your hat thing is better.
Thank you. What we should say, I mean, both of these are meaningless. No. One of them is inappropriate and meaningless, and the other one is hilarious and meaningless, but they're both meaningless. So people who are really into coincidences would argue that these are kind of odd events, but they don't do anything to sort of guide your life. Where if you're a Jungian, i.e. based on the idea of Carl Jung, coincidences are very important. And so people look at them and go, oh, there's the universe trying to tell me something. So a friend of mine is a Jungian, and he was looking at a map once, and it was looking at it in a place in Africa. And at that moment on the radio, which he got playing in the background, the presenter mentioned the place he was looking at. So for him, that's a very meaningful coincidence. He stopped what he was doing and went to that place in Africa.
No.
Yeah, because he knew he had to be there for some reason.
What reason was it?
No, he just went there, and that's how he lives. Like Jungians are looking out for coincidences because they're meaningful. Now, that's only happened to me once, which was only about a month ago. So I'm going to tell you another coincidence now.
I'm going to look really interested now.
Yeah. So I walk out of my house and
amazing.
I know, the chances. well, it happens most days, actually. So I walked out of my house, and then my parents phoned me about sort of 20 minutes away, and they said, can you get this book and post it to us? So I got the book very easily. And I thought, I can't remember their postcode. That's annoying. I'm going to have to go back to the house to get the postcode to come out and post the book. At that moment, a bus goes past. The first bit of the number plate is the first bit of my parents' postcode. And that then allowed me to very easily remember the second bit, and I could go and post my book.
That's really pleasing.
Yeah, it's nice. I was amazed by that. So that's a meaningful coincidence because it's doing some work in your life.
But you don't make that much of it. It's just pleasing for you, whereas your friend the Jungian would be...
Oh, like... that would be oh my goodness, the universe is telling me something, I should go there or talk to my parents more about this. That's a signal and something to be done with. And so Jungian therapy, often coincidences come up. So it's kind of an interesting way of looking at the world.
Does your friend find that they spend a lot of time randomly going to random places because the universe told them to?
Yeah, and doing what we'd consider to be random things. They don't consider it random, of course.
Right.
But what's interesting about that is it's sometimes quite a successful strategy, because often we're kind of stuck in a behavioural rut. We're going to the same places, meeting the same people. There's a limit to the opportunities that's going to give you. And now you're doing stuff randomly.
I mean,
so who knows what I would consider randomly.
That does make sense. I'm still intrigued to know what they did in Africa when
they would then look for other coincidences, yeah, and so on while they're there. It's a different worldview. Anyway, from a sort of more rational scientific point of view, most of the work has looked at why we experience coincidences so much, whether they are genuine or whether we're just kidding ourselves.
When you say genuine, is there actually a threshold for something to be a meaningful coincidence?
100 to 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything, that seems really...
I just made that up.
No, it sounds good.
I don't think there is. I suppose each individual decides. And as I say, you know, we're all more impressed by our own coincidences than other people's, as we illustrated brilliantly.
I've got a particular soft spot for really rubbish coincidences. So there's some Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie sketch, which ends with, and 8 years later, to the decade, Margaret Thatcher was ousted from power. Coincidence? And you're like, yes, that's rubbish.
That's very good. Yeah, but it's the same thing.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Obviously, we've had a lot of people getting in touch with the show to share their weird and wonderful coincidences, yes, that happened to them. So this voicemail was sent in by Andrew Gladstone about a coincidence in the workplace.
Hi, Richard. I'm a podiatrist, and whilst I've had lots of coincidences similar to the one I'm about to tell you about, this one stands out. I was busily working away one day, and a patient's name drifted into my head. I can't remember why. It might have been the conversation I was having with a current patient. I really don't know. But this patient who I thought of was a very regular patient. But for whatever reason, She had not been to my clinic for a number of years. We used to have a fantastic relationship and always had a great laugh. She had a very interesting surname that I constantly took the mickey out of, and she loved it when I was rude about it. Anyway, whilst I was treating the patient in front of me, I quickly noted down this patient's name, and my intention was to call her after I'd finished the patient I was treating to see how she was and to find out why she had not seen me for a long time. After finishing treating the patient I had in my chair, I went down to the receptionist to have a chat and make myself a drink. And to my amazement, the receptionist told me that the patient I was thinking about had just called to make an appointment. I immediately called her back and told her my side of the story, and she couldn't believe it either. This type of incident has happened to me lots over many years, more times than I can possibly remember. Thank you.
Great. Ooh. It's great. And it's very hard to explain that. One of the big drivers is the law of large numbers, and lots of people looked into it. And one of them, Percy Diaconis, who's a statistician and a very good magician.
Oh, it's really good. There's a theme developing here, Richard.
Yeah, no, he's really good. And so as a young man, he's one of the best card magicians in the world. And he teams up with a man called Di Vernon, who was one of the greatest magicians. And Vernon realizes that Diaconis is a very bright man and should go to university and not spend his entire life trying to be a magician. And that's how he ends up being a statistician.
What age are we talking here?
I guess he was doing about 18 or 19, I think. So anyway, Diaconis has done lots of work on statistics and coincidences. And the law of large numbers is part of that. So if you have something amazing, so someone says, let's imagine in a world there's only one air crash a year, something like that. And someone documents that they, in their entire life, only had one dream about an air crash. And that was the night before it happened. And they can document all of that. We'd go, that's incredible. Until you start to look at the numbers, some of which I've jotted down here. So if you assume they dream, just one dream every night between age 15 and 75, then that gives them 22,000 dreams over their lifespan. So now you randomly allocate the air crash to one of those days. The chances of them dreaming of that the night before, if they only have one dream about an air crash, is 22,000 to one. So it's incredible for that person. It's like winning the lottery.
Okay.
And then you think 67 million people in Britain, that's going to happen to about 3,000 people.
Gotcha.
And that's the same idea that somebody wins the lottery every week. Well, it's incredibly unlikely for any one individual, but people, so many people are buying tickets, it's going to happen to someone. For the individual, it looks amazing. When you look at the numbers of people involved, it's going to happen once in a while, in this instance, 3,000 times.
So if parapsychologists wanted to find people that could predict things, yes, like air crashes, you'd want to go and find that initial, I don't know how many thousand people around the country that had that dream that correlated. Mm. And then maybe go for a second step and study those people.
Yeah, you could do that. Some people have done that. What's called Premonitions Bureau. Wonderful book about it that's out there at the moment. The other way is just ask people, do you tend to dream about the future? And then you look at those folks. But either way, what will be an incredible experience actually should happen just because of the large number of people involved. So it could be that law of large numbers again, that experience is going to happen to somebody and it happened to this particular person. It could be that they, if you were to think of somebody and they didn't turn up, you'd forget that experience. So you don't know how many misses they were in there. Or it could be the universe, you know, somehow guiding these events to coalesce. So it's great. I love these stories.
I love these stories. Could it be that your brain is sort of thinking through your regular patients and going, oh, I haven't seen so-and-so in a while?
Yeah, so I suppose that's a kind of psychology of hidden causes. And you get that with dreaming, actually. If people leave the radio on overnight, they might hear a news story in their dream, end up dreaming about that. And then the morning, they go, oh, my goodness, that dream I had corresponded to news, because there's a hidden cause in there. So we don't know. You can't take a single experience. That's a wonderful one. You can't take that and really understand too much about that one. You can just talk about them in general. Great story, though.
Shall we have another one? This is sent in by our exec producer, Rami. Mm-hmm. Less of a question, more of an anecdote. I met a friend for the first time in 5 years and then bumped into him the next day randomly on the London Underground. Oh, and I owed him for lunch. The universe was literally making me pay.
Well, that's meaningful, I think, financially. So, and it's the same thing. But part of all of this is, of course, the small world phenomenon, which is this idea we're all a bit more connected than we realise. So this dates back to Stanley Milgram, who we've mentioned on other episodes, a bit of a hero of mine. And he's best known for this study where he asked people to give electric shocks to other people. But he actually did some really fascinating, really clever, smart social psychology aside from that. And part of it was looking at this small world phenomenon. So he sent out letters to 200 people in Nebraska, pretty much randomly selected, and said, there's a stockbroker in Boston, and this is the person's name, and your job is to get this letter to that stockbroker. Now, you're not going to know this person. And what you have to do is pass it on to somebody you do know who you think will move it nearer to that person.
Nice. Okay.
And so what Milgram was interested in was how many steps in that chain before it gets to the stockbroker.
Oh, and we've had a question from Chris White, who contacted the show, asking, is the 7 degrees of separation rule true in that we're all connected to each other via 7 other people?
And that's exactly where this comes from. So some people talk about 7 degrees of separation or connectedness. With Milgram's work, it was 6. On average, 6 steps to go from a bunch of people in Nebraska to one person in Boston when they don't know each other.
We used to play a game called 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, where you'd name any actor and everyone else had to try and get them through 6 other actors who they'd worked with in movies.
Yes, same idea. So we did the study in the UK and found out it was actually less than 6. It was 4. In the UK. And so it's a strange thing. And what you notice is that it works really well. And in fact, you can do it in a large room. We did it with like 500 people at a party where you say to people, right, you don't know this other guest, but can you send me in the direction of a guest who you do know, who you think will get me closer to that person? And in 500 people, or when you send out these letters, as Milgram did, as we did, you get the same thing happening, which is you get nodes. You get people who are really well connected. And as soon as you hit one of those, bang, it gets there pretty quickly. So it's like kind of lumpy porridge. You know, it's sort of our society isn't flat in terms of connectivity. There are certain people that know lots of people.
So lots of these random people in Nebraska probably knew one really social person in Lincoln.
Right. That's
and
right.
then they, of course, knew someone in Boston and they could pass on.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. But from a coincidence point of view, you go to a party, you get talking to somebody, I can't believe that we both know this other person. Actually, it's a lot more likely than you might imagine.
You're listening to Richard Wiseman's On Your Mind, and in this episode, we're talking about coincidence. And is it a coincidence that on my birthday, I'm actually spending my birthday with people I want to have fun with anyway?
I guess that's a coincidence.
Okay,
yes.
Fine. Yeah, good.
Could you imagine other people that would be even more fun?
No.
Yeah, that's not coincidence. That's just sad, isn't it? But part of it is also we're terrible at stats. I know I am, even as a psychologist. So if you say to people, and this is the classic one that the skeptics and researchers trot out, how many people did it take to be in a room to have a 50-50 chance of two of them sharing a birthday, not the year, but a date in the month?
Okay.
The answer is a surprisingly small 23 people.
Oh.
So 23 people in a room, you've got a 50-50 chance of sharing a birthday.
Okay.
If you get 48 people in that room, then it's massive. It's about 95% chance. And I've done this with lots of groups of 50 people. You just get people to go along with their saying out their birthdays and somebody suddenly go, oh, that's mine. And you've got this hit. And it's because we don't really understand stats. My favourite stats puzzle, nothing to do with coincidences.
I love that you have a favourite stats puzzle.
I do. I did this on...
And yet you're fun at parties.
No, I'm not.
No, I mean, like...
I never get invited.
That's not true. You've been to a party with 500 people in this episode.
As a work party.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering what kind of venue you have for a 500-person party.
That was a very big venue.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your favourite stats
My favourite stats thing, I mentioned this once on the radio, and it caused lots of statisticians to write in, and we had to do another episode to explore the stats behind it, which I never fully understood. So a family's got 2 children. One of them is a boy. What's the probability of the other being a girl? And most people think, well, it's going to be 50-50.
Yeah.
Like assuming even split between boys and girls. It's not the case. It's a 2/3 chance that it's a girl.
What? Why?
Well, and I know we're going to get lots of complaints now as I try and explain this. It's because there are 4 possibilities if you have 2 kids, assuming they're either going to be a boy or a girl. It's boy-boy, boy-girl, girl-boy, girl-girl. Now, at the beginning of the puzzle, we're told that one of them is a boy. So it takes out girl-girl. And that leaves you with boy-boy, boy-girl, girl-boy. And that gives you 2/3 a chance of being a girl.
Oh, no, I do. That does make sense. But
yeah.
also...
I'm glad it makes sense to you, because there'll be lots of listeners already, as particularly statisticians, going, hold on a second, it matters exactly how you word that puzzle.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, I probably got it wrong. So the key point being, stats sometimes can be quite counterintuitive. And so you can have an experience, go, my goodness, the chances of that. And actually, it can be quite different to what you think the chances are.
I've got Wizard of Oz coat written down on a piece of paper.
Yes.
Why?
Because one of my favourite coincidences.
Tell me about that.
Frank Baum. Now, Wizard of Oz, why is it called Oz? Because he looked up on his filing drawer, he got O to Z.
Oh.
Yeah, got two drawers. Otherwise, it'd be called The Wizard of Anne, which is not as good. So he went with Oz. I don't know if that's true. I read it on the internet, so it might not be true.
No, everything on the internet's true.
So Frank writes Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Huge success. Frank, oh, there's another Frank, Frank Morgan. So we've now got two Franks.
Coincidence?
The chances. It's going to make this story really complicated. First Frank, Frank 1, writes Wizard of Oz. Frank 2 is Morgan. Asked to star in the film, 1939. And he's all dressed up. He's going to play the wizard. And somebody goes in wardrobe, goes, hold on a second, it's not the right outfit. I'll go and get you a better outfit. And they go and buy a jacket from a thrift store, as it would be in America, charity shop over here, puts it on Frank 2. Frank 2 looks in the jacket, and it used to belong to Frank 1, writer of Wizard of Oz.
That's very pleasing.
Apparently, that's true, in the sense of there's several internet sites that tell that story.
And do you know where the annual Wizard of Oz festival is held?
Is it in Scotland?
No. It's in America, in a town called Chesterton.
Oh, very good. Have you been there?
No.
Chances of that.
Can I tell you a bunch of coincidences around the deaths of President JFK, John Kennedy, and Abraham Lincoln?
Go for it.
Okay, so Lincoln...
No way, that's incredible.
Lincoln was killed and...
Yes.
JFK was also assassinated.
Both assassinated, yes.
But Lincoln was killed in the Ford Theatre.
Yes.
While Kennedy was assassinated when he was driving a Lincoln car... built by Ford.
Can I just say that the people assassinated are two different people? There's no coincidence there.
Yeah. But Lincoln, I'm just going with the coincidences. Lincoln was elected to Congress in 1846, Kennedy in 1946. Yeah.
Killed in different places, though, weren't they? So it wouldn't
But Lincoln was elected president in 1860, Kennedy in 1960. The surnames of both men contain seven letters. Both killings took place on a Friday. After their deaths, both presidents were succeeded by men named Johnson. Andrew
Only
Johnson.
One of them tried to get to the moon.
Andrew Johnson was born in 1809 and Lyndon Johnson in 1909.
So
coincidence?
Well, obviously. But I think
if I was Jungian...
Yes. Well, I don't know what you do with that.
The universe is trying to tell me something and I'm not quite sure what it is.
Well, I think it's telling you that we're trying to look for meaning in stuff. So what's interesting here is that you can line up all the ways they're different, or you can line up all the ways in which they're similar. All the ways in which they're different doesn't give you a good story.
Yeah, exactly. The similar ways are cool at a party.
Yes.
And
my ways are just, I'm going to end up in the kitchen again on my own.
Yeah.
But it also gets into confirmation bias, which is if you look for these things, then you'll find them. And that's true pretty much of anything in life, that once you start to be on the lookout for a certain idea or word, you can do it with the word elephant. If you now keep your eyes open for the word elephant for the rest of the day, you'll see pictures of elephants or the word elephant where you didn't notice them before. We like information that confirms our point of view. We're not very good at doing what scientists should do, which is look for disconfirming information. So there with that story, you know, if you go, actually, here's all the ways in which they're different, as you say, you end up on your own at a party. We like the idea there's something mysterious going on. And that kind of mystery mongering, I think, is really important to us. This thought that the world is quite mysterious, there's something to be understood, it makes you curious, it drives you forward.
There are all of these lines connecting everything together. And yes. That's why we enjoy mysteries, right? And conspiracies, I guess.
Oh, to some extent, I think that it shows us that not often in life, actually things are connected. And we're trying to find that pattern in order to move forward in life. When you then take that same pattern matching part of the brain and apply it to two presidents that were many, many years apart, you get the same phenomenon. You can't explain what's going on. And so you get something unexpected and weird. So all of this I find fascinating because it's what we're bringing to the party. And that means we have these rather strange experiences. And then we start to interpret them in certain ways. So I think it's kind of a celebration of how sophisticated we are most of the time, how we get it right most of the time, and occasionally we trip ourselves up. Coincidence is, to some extent, the price we're paying for being so wonderful the rest of the time. So we've covered huge amounts.
Yep. What I've learned is I don't understand stats as well as I thought I would.
I think we've learned that sometimes coincidences are meaningful, that they guide people's lives.
They help you write postcodes.
Absolutely. Other times we are kidding ourselves. We can do that with the law of large numbers. We can do it with the misunderstanding of stats. We can do it with the small world phenomenon. And a phenomenon. Thank you. And we've also discovered that the story involving Frank 1 and Frank 2 might be true. From Podimo and Telltale, this has been Richard Wiseman's On Your Mind.
Hosted by Professor Richard Wiseman and Marnie Chesterton.
Our producer is Kate White.
The executive producers for Podimo are Jake Chudnow and Matt White. And for Telltale are Rami Sabar and Jago Lee.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter at WisemanPod.
Where we'll be regularly asking you for questions for future episodes. You can also email us at wisemanpod@podimo.com.
And if you like this podcast, tell your friends, leave us a review. If you don't like it, tell your friends you did. Why should you be the only ones to suffer?
Although it does help others find us. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.